My topic this morning is false prophets. And our country is absolutely filled with them. False prophets are people who seem like they are the upper crust of society. They are the most pious, it seems, and the most accepted by their neighbors and friends, and they just wouldn't hurt a flea. But they are the damnation of many. And they are the murderers of the souls of men. And I couldn't speak to you on anything more necessary in our hour than what the marks of a false prophet are. He preaches a message that's easily understood or easily accepted by the natural man. You've got to do something, he says, in order to please God. He's all the time telling you, well, he put you to work. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You've got to do something else. But let's turn, before we get to Balaam, now, chapter 22, ask Brother Jerry to read chapter 22 of Numbers, because chapter 22 sets the stage for chapters 23 and 24. In chapter 23, there's two parables that Balaam takes up by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even though Balaam's a false prophet. Balaam's a wicked man. His eyes are for money. He's out for the dollar. And he cares nothing for the souls of men. He doesn't care anything for the Israel of God. And actually, he doesn't care anything for God. He knows he can't go beyond what God tells him to do. He knows that much. But as far as any love for God or any reverence for God, he doesn't have any. And that's evident because after God had told him, don't go with those people, he wanted to go. He wanted his house full of Balak's silver and gold. That was what he wanted. He didn't want to please God. But let's look at the New Testament. Now, Balaam is the picture of the false prophet. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to read through these. Through these two chapters, and I know we're going to do a whole lot of reading this morning, but I think it's necessary. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, there are some facts that we need to be aware of and need to nail down. One of them is that the same Lord Jesus Christ that left here some 2,000 years is coming back.
Right.
It's the same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming to hang on the cross anymore. He's coming to destroy his enemies. And his enemies are those, a lot of them are those who have preached in his name. They've said they've cast out devils. They've prophesied in his name. And in his name, they've done many wonderful works. But they've lied about who he is, what he has done, where he is now, how God justifies the ungodly, and how God saves sinners. False prophets say, well, it's something you do. You got to believe. You have to repent. That's up to you. No, it ain't up to you. That was settled before the foundation of the world. God determined to save His people from their sins by the shed blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no other way.
Amen.
Repentance and faith are gifts purposed in the covenant of grace and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ for the children of God. And if you believe, and if I believe, it's by the gift of God. If I have repented of my former idolatry in free will works religion, it's because repentance was granted me by God the Holy Spirit. Not because I found out I had to do something, but it was the goodness of God that led me to repentance. Else I'd still be in free will works religion, trying to do something to please God, get Him in the mood to save me. Anyhow, it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that's coming back that left here. And it's the same Word that is going to be the judge. Look at John 12:48, and then we'll get back to 2 Peter. Look at John 12:48. John 12:48. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "He that rejecteth me," well, how do we reject Him? "And receiveth not my words." What words? His word of election, His word of predestination, His word of justification by His righteousness, the word of God, the word of the gospel. The gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles preached, that He sealed with His own blood. Those words. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." It's the same Lord Jesus Christ that's coming back, that went away. This is serious business. It's more serious than a heart attack. Because a heart attack can end your temporal life, but this is talking about eternal life.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 2 Peter now, chapter 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now, men who deny the Lord are of the spirit of Antichrist. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And to deny the Father and the Son is to deny what they do. Is to deny their works. That was the Father's work to elect the people, and the Son's work to redeem them. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate those same people. To deny that is to deny the God of the Bible. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness," now there it is, Balaam was covetous, he coveted the money of Balak. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." They want to gather a big following so they can have a lot of pockets to pick. "Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now, God is serious about His gospel. He's serious about His word. He's serious about that everlasting covenant. And it's going to be just the way he has said it is. And he's not going to change his mind when he returns and become more lenient. It's believers he's coming after. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, and making them an example unto them that should after live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now this world today got the idea that God won't punish. They don't know God. They do not know God. The Bible is full of the punishments of God.
Yes, it is.
Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to look no further than the book of Joshua, how that God would send Israel in and they'd wipe out every living thing in a lot of those countries. And if you want to know why he did that, I would encourage you to read the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and there it will explain to you why God had them wiped out. They were a moral disease on this earth that needed to be stamped out. Anyway, let's go on. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereof angels that are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, people who are not influenced by the grace of God cannot understand spiritual things, but they're not afraid to speak evil of it through natural reasoning. They reason naturally. The believer sees the precept in the word of the Lord and believes that, and that settles everything for him. The natural man, he thinks that he can figure everything out by his natural reasoning, and so he speaks evil of those things, such as God will save one man, leave another. He'll speak it. Was that God's unjust, men say? No. No, he's not. All right, let's move on. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, they while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. There's covetousness again. Which have forsaken the right way, which is the way of the Lord, and have gone astray, following in the way of Balaam. Now here's Balaam as the prime example of false prophets. And the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Now, a lot of these fellows are great orators. They can hold a crowd's attention. They can entertain. And they can make you feel good. They can make you feel like you belong to something, like you're doing something worthwhile, like everything is just hunky-dory with your soul, while they're leading you down a path of destruction. They're good. They're good entertainers. These are wells without water, clouds they are, carried about with tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who are clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. For if after that they have escaped the pollutions through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Neither one of them was sheep. All right, look at Jude. Jude chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. There's election, redemption, and predestination right there, or regeneration. Mercy unto you, and peace be, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And that is the doctrine of Christ, the gospel. For there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jude said, when I sit down to write to you about this, he said, I found out it was necessary to warn you about these people. We need a warning. We need to be warning. We need this warning ourselves. And, you know, I know how it is in our day. We have neighbors and friends that live close by that are lost in free will works religion. And they think everything's all right. They're sold. But in preaching and believing free will works religion, they deny the Lord. They deny Him. They deny that God elected the people and predestinated them to eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny that the Lord Jesus Christ died only for His people. And they deny that the Holy Spirit calls, regenerates everyone that the Father chose and the Son that redeemed. They deny all that. But they say, well, it's up to you. Won't you let Jesus save you? So they deny the God of the Bible. Now, God won't take that lightly. He just will not. He is a jealous God. I, whose name is Jealous, am a jealous God, and He is jealous for His holy name's sake. And those who will not bow to His rule and to His word won't be accepted. All right, let's go back now to, and I would encourage you to read through the rest of that chapter. It's a good deal like 2 Peter that we just read. Let's look at verses 12 through 14 of Jude, and then we'll move on. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds. Trees whose fruits wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now when he comes, wouldn't you hate to be one of them that said, Well, a God like that be unjust? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And God will remember. All right, let's go to the book of Numbers. Numbers 23. Now here's Israel spread out over all the earth, according to the words of Balak. A great, great multitude of people. And they had destroyed several kingdoms. They had destroyed Og, king of Bashan, and several others on their way in there. And so Moab had good reason to fear what was coming. And so he sends for Balaam. Now Balaam, he was a really religious guy. He had the ear of about everybody. Because Balak said, Now I know that who you curse is cursed. That's common knowledge. Everybody knows that. And who you bless is blessed. You've really got God's ear. That's what he was saying. But let's look here. And so Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars. Now Balak took Balaam up on this high place of Baal worship, where they could see all of Israel, where they could see the entire multitude. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to and meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met with Balaam. And he said unto him, I have prepared, this is Balaam saying to God, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord, and the word of the Lord came unto Balaam, and the word, let me back up here, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable. Now this is Balaam, took up his parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the tops of the rocks I see him. Now this is the voice of the Lord speaking here. From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." So that was Balaam's first oracle that he had got from the Lord, and it speaks of the total separation of Israel from all the rest of the nations. The Lord said, "These are my people." And no doubt he was looking at spiritual Israel. He was looking at the Israel of God, and who were among Israel after the flesh. And that will be brought out. But so they were a separate people. And we're to be a separate people. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, this is particularly in religious worship. Because if we would be separated from unbelievers in this world, we'll have to leave the earth. But this particularly in religious order, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" In Amos, I don't remember chapter and verse right now, but it said, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" "And what concord hath Christ with Belial," or with devils? "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now, the temple of God there is the children of God, the people of God. We are the temple of God. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them." Come out from among them. Well, we're to have no religious fellowship with false religion. We're just not. You can't have religious fellowship with the house of Satan or the Antichrist. "Wherefore come out from among him and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Ye, our Lord said to us, "Ye are my witnesses." We are to stand up and tell this world that they're lost. This religious world. When God gives us the opportunity. Now, it'd be to waste our breath if we go out and try to fertilize unprepared ground. God the Holy Spirit has to go before us and prepare the hearts of somebody to hear what we got to say. But when He does, He'll put a word in our mouth. He'll put a word in our mouth, and we should be bold. You cannot preach the gospel with a mealy mouth. You got to be bold. You got to tell the truth and not apologize for it, because God doesn't apologize for it, and neither should we. And certainly if we believe it, we won't. It's just the truth, whether men like it or whether they don't. And men don't like it. We know that. And you can go armed with that truth. You'll be despised. Our Lord was despised, and we're no better than Him. Men will hate you. He said, men will hate you for my sake. So get ready. Get ready for the war. Because we're in a war. This is a warfare. All right. So he talks about, he said, they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I'll be unto them, and they'll be unto me. A separate people. All right, look over at verse, look down at verse 18. This is the second prayer. So, old Balak, he thought, well, he's looked over the whole congregation. Maybe he's impressed by them. So I'll take him up here where he can just see a little part of them, and maybe he'll change his mind. So they took him up into another high place. And we'll begin reading it at verse 14. And he brought him into the field of Zophim in the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable. This is Balaam, the false prophet. And he took up his parable. Now imagine this. Here is a false prophet telling the truth. He don't want to. He does not want to. But the Lord is speaking through this man. Just like the high priest. He said, well, you all don't know anything. He said, don't you know that one man ought to die and the whole nation be preserved? That was the high priest when they were crucifying the Lord. So the Lord speaks through whom he will. And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Our God does what he says. Always what he says, and only what he says. Behold, I will receive commandment to. Behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. All the devils in hell and all the free will preachers on earth can't reverse the blessing of God. And God has already blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's already blessed us. How do you know? Because we believe. We believe the Word of God. We believe His Son. That points you out as the elect of God. That marks you as one of the children of the covenant. You have received the gifts of the covenant. Not because you did anything, not because you'll ever do anything, just because it pleased God to set His love on you before the foundation of the world. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I just can't reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now the natural man, he'd say, why, look down there there was, they built that calf out of gold down there and fell down and worshiped. And you say, I've not beheld iniquity in Jacob? No. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him is no sin. They're not in themselves. It's not what we are in ourselves. It's what God hath made us to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're holy. Perfectly righteous, accepted in the blood. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. All of Jacob's iniquity was heaped on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He put it away forever. He answered every charge. He paid the price. He wiped out the debt. He blotted it out with His blood. And it's just not there anymore. He purged our sins, took all the guilt away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm still a sinner in my person, but not in Christ. And I'm in Christ. He is my identity. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. The King of Kings. God brought them out of Egypt, and hath as it were the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. All the devils of hell, and all the sorcerers, and all the free will preachers just can't change God's mind about His people. They can point and accuse, but it's Christ that says that He died. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Not what Israel wrought. Not what they did. What God did. We are His creation.
Yeah.
Created in Christ Jesus. We're not our own creation. Verse 24. Or chapter 24. This is the third time. Balak, he's brought Balaam, and he just can't get it in his head that God's not going to change His mind and curse Israel. Verse 20, or chapter 24, verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam said, well, I'm about to get in trouble with Balak here. I might miss my reward. So he said, I'm going to not prophesy. I'm going to cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before them. I'm not going to preach in His name. I'm going to just take me a trip out into the wilderness, maybe prophesy to the trees. But I'm not going to slap Balak in the face again. But let's see what happens. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. The Lord is not going to let him go without blessing Israel again. And he took up his parable, even though he didn't want to, but he did. And he said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the visions of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. How beautiful in God's sight are his people. While they're dressed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their beauty is dazzling to his eye. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys, they are spread forth as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lime aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as the cedar trees beside the waters. How peaceful. How well nourished, how well watered, how well cared for. He shall pour water out of his buckets, and that water will be the life of the Gentiles. The gospel. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. His seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt, and hath as it were the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nation his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched. He lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, and who shall stir him up? Blessed be he that blesseth thee, and cursed be he that curseth thee. So Balak see himself cursed for Israel's sake. Cursed was Balak because he tried to curse Israel. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee to thy place. I thought to promote thee to great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not unto thy messengers which thou sendest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad in my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise, or I'll tell thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable. Now this is the fourth parable that Balaam has put before Balaam. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, and he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High. which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance and having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. Now old Balaam knew that he was not brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Balaam was going to be far off in the pit of hell with all the rest of the false prophets. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And then he takes up his proverbs against the other countries, and we see Israel reigning. Well, those things have not changed. He is our God. He has separated us unto Himself and made us a separate people. And the faith that abides in us by the Spirit of truth will separate us from this world.